Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I know they've been we've been gone for a couple days, but sadly I've been a little bit under the weather. But fortunately, I think I'm finally getting better. So, all right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs do go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so the blog did actually go up yesterday. Took me a little longer to get it up there than normal, but it is up there. If you haven't gotten over there to sportstimeradio.com, go on over there, check it out. Of course, while you are over at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three of those E's.
So, well, you know, Dan, I guess on the plus side, there's probably more football news than we could squeeze into an hour, but I did see something baseball-related that I wanted to run by you here to Ooh. Start off, because I know that's for your forte, and I don't know if you caught this one, but you know, after going through spring training and you know what little spring training they had and all the other stuff, you know, and after we were told he didn't need Tommy John surgery, the Red Sox announced that Chris Sale will now have Tommy John surgery. So obviously, when they do play, you know, his season is over.
He's out.
So we probably won't see him till, with the way they handle these, the middle of next year. Do you think it's possible? Like, I noticed, you know, Justin Verlander underwent a groin surgery. Do you think it's possible teams are doing this now because they're realizing it's only going to be a, you know, like I saw somebody post 81 games, but I don't think that. I think it's going to be more like 120. So do you think teams are doing this because they have kind of the extra time frame, or, you know, in the Red Sox case, this is just going to kind of be a lost season for them? So you have Sale get this out of the way now, and you just start looking forward to next year?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how it's going. I mean, you know, as much as they say that they don't want their players to work through injuries or, you know, things of that sort. I mean, let's be honest, isn't this kind of an example of that not being true? Because he probably needed Tommy John, you know, last month, but they wanted to work through it, wanted to see how his body would react and, you know, kind of going forward. And, you know, when it comes to you and I and injuries, because of the situation we're in, being the fact that we don't make multi-million dollars a year, I don't know what their insurance plans are like, but for you and I, our doctors are going to go conservatively, and, you know, with your knee issues, you're not going to get surgery. They're going to make you do PT until it's absolutely exhausted, and they've run through that whole process. But, I mean, let's be honest, that doesn't really need to apply to these professional players because, you know, I haven't really looked into the CBA for that portion of it, but I'm sure, you know, the team might be responsible for that injury. And I don't know how that works with workers' comp. My old job, I tried bringing that up once, and I got this long lawyer's talk about, you know, and I could have spun around 12 times, and I standing right in the same spot, but I wouldn't have known where the hell I was after listening to the talk I got on it. But, yeah, because I was like, why don't you represent any players? But, you know, everything goes through the union. So, you know, I don't think the need is to be conservative. If they need surgery, give them surgery. And, but like you said, now that the season is going to be diminished, you know, I think they needed to throw in the towel to get him on there. And, you know, for me, and I don't know about you, it sucks because I definitely was looking at him. I still probably would have ended up drafting him, even though I told you I would have dropped him in a round or two. But, you know, if I had the opportunity, I probably still would have grabbed him and sat him on my bench after, you know, his injuries until he was announced in May that he needs Tommy John, because, you know, that's how that would have worked. So, I don't know. Again, it's one of those things where I think the team physicians, the teams in general, the front office need to start getting ahead of this, regardless of the fact that we're in the COVID situation, and stop playing it so conservative. I get it. You want to win. You want to win. But, you know, they won in 2018, and you need a healthy guy to go forward, whether if he's going to continue to be on your team, have any sort of trade value, you know, kind of going that route. So I don't know. I think it's a disservice that they ended up waiting this long, and they should have been able to figure that out sooner and got him in quicker. Because like you said, we don't know if we'll see him at, you know, the start of spring training next year. You know, will he be resuming baseball activities post-season? You know, we really don't know with the way the Tommy John goes. So, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of a disservice that they kind of wait these things out because, you know, the things don't get better. You know, throwing a 90-mile-an-hour plus fastball for 6 months with 4 days of rest, 5 days of rest in between doesn't really help you get healthier, does it?
No, you know, you wouldn't think it would, you know. I mean, and I, you know, like your guess is, you know, like Sale was going to start the year on the DL anyways because he had pneumonia coming into spring training, so he was going to be backed up a couple weeks. Then he had, you know, and pitchers go through it all the time. They have that dead arm phase in spring training, you know, as they kind of work back into game shape. You know, even though these guys throw all year long, you're not throwing, you know, 9-inning complete games in your workout. So, you know, you hit that period. But, you know, like Boston acted like it was nothing to worry about and it wouldn't be a problem. And, you know, he was just going to need a little rest. And then even their first medical report specifically said did not need Tommy John surgery. So I'm guessing he's probably been throwing lightly with the shutdown. I doubt injured him anymore. How the hell did we go from did not needing Tommy John surgery to having Tommy John surgery? Is what I would like to know. So, you know, how do you fill in the blanks there?
Yeah, and, you know, obviously with the way HIPAA laws are, which only apply to medical professionals, doctors, nurses, and those sort, not to you and I, because we wouldn't have those access to those records, so HIPAA laws don't apply. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think, and I don't want to phrase this the wrong way, and, you know, but are the physician recommendations sometimes influenced? Does that keep me on safe ground, Big Jack?
you want me to keep you there? Yeah, that's probably not the right person to ask that. But yeah, I guess, and obviously, you know, we're talking about, and you know, to use it in quotations, a team physician. So obviously with the word team in there, it's very much like going to your company doctor. You know, their first objective is making sure they continue to get those big paychecks from your company or your team. So they're more or less A, going to tell them what they want to hear, and B, try to make it come true. So, you know, and I guess the best example I did, I had a slip and fall years ago at a job before I had the one I was at, and I managed to hurt the knee that hadn't had surgery on it yet. So I had to go see their doctor, and he told me, oh, yeah, you're fine. Your knees are only about as bad as mine. We'll do some rehab. You'll be back in no time. I think I got a week off, 4 weeks of rehab. I went to see my own doctor. I was examined, and I needed a complete restructuring of the knee. So I went from, oh, yeah, you'll be fine after rehab, to needing it totally repaired. So, so you can just kind of imagine how things are. And, you know, that's why the other sport, the NFL, when you have a concussion now, you have to be seen by an independent doctor. It can't be a doctor associated with the team or the NFL in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, you can kind of put the pieces together of what Dan was implying with, I'm just getting sued or in any kind of trouble. I hope that helped.
Yeah, that kind of, I think, puts you in the right direction of where I was going. And, you know, you had mentioned how with the NFL and that doctor from, was he from Africa, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe it was originally.
You know, with his accusations and lawsuit against the NFL, while his claims may not have been 100% accurate, I do think the best thing that happened out of that, though, is the fact that, like you mentioned, that for concussion protocol, it's an independent doctor and it's not the team doctor.
Yeah. So, because, hey, slap some dirt on it, get back out there. So, But, yeah, and then, we covered Sale, but, like, the Verlander thing, I honestly believe this was something he was going to try to pitch with the entire season, because obviously being an American League pitcher, he rarely has to hit unless it's an interleague game. And the only, in-game, like, running he would have to do on a hustle basis would be covering first. But, now with all this time off, he can go have the groin surgery and, With the reports I've been hearing, and I want to get into that with you in a minute, he'll be probably fine and ready to go by the time they start the season, won't he? So, but all right, Dan, I saw this today, and I actually found the article, and I got to tell you, if this actually happens, I will be entirely depressed, and I probably won't want to have anything to do with baseball, even though I guess in reality it's not their fault. Apparently, when things resume, they will have a 2 to 3 week spring training. And Jeff Passan of Yahoo has reliable sources that says the season will begin, let me get it here, will begin has been, from the start. My over-under on when the MLB season will begin has been the All-Star game. Dan, if they start in July, I'm done with this year. They're not even going to be able to suck me into watch games because I'm not going to care.
Yeah, but I already paid for MLB.tv, so you have to.
Yeah, I guess, you have to do that, but... Yeah, I mean, because, it just seems like we're out of control with this. I mean, is this virus gonna last forever and I'm missing something? Am I misinformed? Nobody's telling me what's going on? Because the wait to start till July would just be nuts.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And, if you're even an outlier, somewhat of involved with politics, of course, if you lean a little to the left, you have to blame the president for everything and blah, blah, blah. And, everyone's a political expert. But, this is a worldwide pandemic, as the WHO had put out there. So, maybe it could start earlier when the aliens just finally decide to land and expose themselves
yeah.
and cure us all. You know, I mean, the only, when I thought about this whole situation, it just reminds me of the quote-unquote discovery of the New World and the tactic of blankets given to the natives that are, you know, disease-infested with measles and mumps and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, in comparison to that time to now, the death rate is nowhere near the same. And, you know, unfortunately, the ones that are falling off due to this coronavirus are, you know, are the elderly. So it's not like there is truly an alien force trying to weaken our strength, you know, our people of strength, you know, to take us over, which I think they could probably simply do it in 30 seconds. But you're right. I think it's definitely overplayed. I mean, supposedly in China, it's calming itself and people are getting back to their normal everyday masks that they wear while walking around China. So, I mean, I don't foresee it going that long, but the first thing I thought of when you said that was, you know, NASCAR. NASCAR starts with their biggest event, and granted, you know, baseball wouldn't be starting with their biggest event, but kind of a bigger event would be the All-Star break. And, you know, in light of that, would there even be a necessity for an All-Star game? And, you know, because I was kind of thinking maybe it would be best if maybe they started off with something like that and, you know, maybe had fans start voting now, you know, depending on what you think, and open the season with some kind of All-Star type thing. But I forgot where it's at and where it's supposed to be scheduled. Is it Cincinnati this year?
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know.
Oh, no, it's actually the Los Angeles. So, I mean, there's even been talks that the Cubs-Cardinals series will be canceled because the MLB canceled the Mexico and Puerto Rican series this year.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just you know, just and I get it, you know, everybody wants to be safe, and I'm obviously not saying they shouldn't, unless, of course, you've been to Florida and you just continue to mingle with bunches, you know, groups of people for no apparent reason. But that's your problem, not mine. So
Hey, I planned my spring break vacation 3 months ago. I'm going to party
yeah.
all I want.
Yeah, I hope that that one video that's going around, I hope that kid's parents saw it and realized what they've done, but you know, or where their college money is going. But hey, you know, just kind of how it goes. But yeah, that's just kind of, you know, kind of sad hearing that when they're talking, you know, July, you know, and I do wonder. You know, I think the question, and, you know, this is always going to come back to money because, you know, I did hear Adam Silver did an interview yesterday, but I know the NBA would like to hold their playoffs. You've got to assume the NHL would like to do the same thing. You know, if baseball isn't going to start up till July, the NBA and the NHL probably won't start up until baseball starts up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, this is just, I don't know. It just seems kind of odd. And like you mentioned, NASCAR, who has already said they're planning on running a full season. Are they going to do two races a week? You know, are we going to have a weekend race, a Wednesday race, just to get all these races in?
They should. I mean, that's the only way I could feel like you could actually make that work and happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're talking, I mean, they do 36 races in a season now, and they've ran, is it four? Three or four?
Yeah, I thought it was like four or five, but.
Okay, yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be five. I'm trying to remember, you know, how many there actually, you know, actually have been. And, you know, if my computer was running a little faster, I probably could have binged it by the time you and I actually wanted to figure it out. But you know, just not how
no,
not
actually
how it is, not how things go for me. So. You know, I do know Joey Logano has won twice, so
hey,
you know, I at least
haven't
had to.
The way they have their schedule set up on Bing is a little tricky because it doesn't. Oh, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 races. But I don't know.
Yeah,
if,
and the, you know.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Remember, the first three are all qualifiers. So they've ran 4.
Yeah, 4.
So,
that was like the Bush Clash.
So they've ran 4 races out of 36. So we have 32 still to go, and this will be the second week of cancellations. And I think, if I remember correctly, they came out and said they were going to postpone until the end of the month. So that would be just, you know, 3 races probably. So that might not be too hard to make up, but that's if and only if things are back up and running by the end of the month. I mean, I know here where you and I live, you know, schools are supposed to start opening back up at the end of the month, and so are, you know, restaurants and bars and stuff that they've asked to shut down. So I don't know. I mean, will we be on the downswing by then and be able to get these things up and running, do you think? Or is NASCAR going to have to, you know, probably push it back a little farther?
Well, I know that NASCAR was already talking that they were going to considering running, you know, fanless races, which, you know,
yeah.
I have never been to a race myself, but you know, you can only watch so much of it when you're sitting in the stands. Of course, you miss out on all the experience if you get to go on the pits and all that good stuff. But, you know, I can see that as definitely being a possibility for the NASCAR, more so than any other sport, where it won't look so weird, you know, because the focus is obviously on the cars. You know, for them to have to wait, I think what their process is right now is that they are, you know, having to test every single individual. Because, you know, we're not just talking drivers, you know, the pit crew, you know, there's a lot of people that go involved with it. And so I think if you can get these guys and girls all tested negative for Corona and quarantine them to their, you know, I think it would kind of suck for them. I don't know how their travel goes now, but you know, let's just say Kyle Busch and his team, you know, his whole crew, they're all test negative. Well, you know, and then you go on down the line, well, that crew just travels together. You know, they all just travel together so that nobody's, you know, getting outside and getting infected, so to speak. And then you can continue to run your races without fans if that's what you want to do.
So, yeah, and I did see something really, I thought, really interesting. They're doing this week, and I don't know how long this is going to continue, but NASCAR has something called the iRacing Series, you know, which is basically, you know, it's an online racing series, and like it says here, that mirrors the NASCAR Cup Series. The iRace schedule follows the real-world NASCAR schedule, so each week you will drive at the same track in the same cars as top-level NASCAR drivers. Apparently this week, and I don't know if this is going to continue, but there's going to be actual NASCAR drivers doing this.
So wait, what is... what do you mean? Is this like a computer game or?
I'm guessing it's like a video game. Like I'm on the website now. It's It's simply just iRacing.com, I think, /NASCAR. So, you know, and I'm looking here. It says it's an e-sport, so obviously that means, you know, it's an internet thing. But, yeah, it doesn't really show much as to what you do or how it works. They apparently have a race going on live right now. Let me click on it and see what it looks like if my computer will cooperate. It looks just like a video game. Guessing, you know, you probably have to be a league member or whatever. You know, I don't know if it's a PlayStation available game or, you know, one of those gaming systems. But yeah, it looks relatively realistic. I mean, they have a they're at the track in Mid-Ohio, which is a road course, and it looks like a road course, and the cars look like the ARCA cars, I believe. So it looks pretty realistic, you know, as the video games do, but I don't know how you join or how you – oh, well, it says you can sign up, so, yeah, obviously you got to do that. But, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, some of the actual NASCAR drivers themselves are going to compete in these races.
Yeah, that's pretty kind of fan engagement, and I'm sure they're bored off their minds, too.
Oh, yeah, I imagine. I've seen a couple posts on Twitter about, you know, what they're trying to do to kill the time. And I obviously the guys with the families, it's not so bad. Boy, this is extra time with their family that they don't normally get. But, in most cases, the guys who aren't married or anything like that are just kind of out the lunch and trying to fill their time with whatever they can do. But here, let me see. They have a here's what you get with your membership, Dan. Unlimited racing against real people from around the world in official series. Over 40 official series, over 400 private leagues. Full racing and website functionality, including ghost race, staff, teams, etc. 20 cars and 21 tracks for free access, and over 100 laser scan cars and tracks. Access the full racing licensing and rating system, team racing with driver swaps, endurance racing up to 24 hours in length, heat racing, mixed class racing, open setup racing, team racing, league racing, private racing. There are quite a few more here, but the last one is endorsed by professional drivers from every major racing series around the world. Unfortunately, what it doesn't tell me is what they're going to charge you. So.
Well, that's where you got to click the sign up, and then you find out you're being charged a $250,000. No, I'm just kidding.
And obviously there are system requirements that you'll have to check your computer to make sure it's upgraded. Like the first thing it says is anyone can race, but then the next line is most current generation PCs will perform effectively. So I have an older computer, so I'm guessing mine probably wouldn't work as well. But yeah, I mean, all in all, when you look at it, you know, if you need your NASCAR fix, you know, this would probably give it to you. You know,
now,
it's definitely realistic.
Is this strictly NASCAR, or is Formula put into it too?
I don't see a Formula car. Let me click on the cars and see what I get for cars. You know, like the race I just saw with ARCA. They have Xfinity Monster, the truck series, which is Gander Outdoor sponsors it. They do the Whelen series, which is the cars with basically the big wheels outside. They do the K&N Pro series. And is that it? Yeah, it doesn't look like there's – well, there is road racing as well. So you can get in on that. Let's see if I keep rolling here. They have open wheel dirt track that they have the midgets and the outlaw cars. So that's kind of funny. They have a prototype league, which is almost looks like cars that people came up with. And then they have Rallycross and off-road. So no Formula One, but there are a bunch of different options. So it's possible you could find something you like.
All in all, I think it's a cool concept.
Sadly, Dan, though, it doesn't look like they have a Clint Bowyer car. You'd probably have to join to find out if you had one of those. So
I quit already.
But yeah, it looks very realistic. So I don't think it would be for me. I mean, I enjoy those cars, but I don't, I don't think I'd enjoy it enough to sit there and play the video game. But, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would be off with that. And again, if you're interested, it's, iRacing. So, you can just go to iRacing.com. That'll get you started.
Yeah, I mean, as it comes in my age now, I feel like there's just too many I grew up with games where you just picked it up and played. You didn't need a whole lot of stuff to go along with it. I every once in a while my ancient Xbox 360 that anyone who sees it goes, that thing doesn't have the red ring of death yet? I'm like, no. It's not logged that many hours. Especially now with baseball not being on, I'll pick it up once in a while on the weekend and play the game, but I don't even play the game as much because I can't even hit the ball to save my life. So, and this is a 2010 game. I just do pitching.
Yeah, it's just one of those, one of those things. I mean, I enjoy playing them. I just don't, I just don't want to sit there for hours upon hours and play. People really enjoy that, but I don't.
My nephew's always, you should get the PS4, but I'm with you. I mean, if I do play, it's maybe an hour, and out of a month, maybe 2 hours the whole entire month. And, I could definitely find, something else to spend $400 on to just sit there and look pretty.
Right, and I mean, you know me. I mean, you know how mine is. You set mine up. So, I don't played it in quite a while. I mean, I was getting pretty good at Tiger Woods golf. but the other thing is I'm not a first-person shooter guy. I don't really enjoy those games. So, like, the games that are really popular, I wouldn't really be into.
Yeah. For me, I enjoy those games, but to actually play with, anyone around the world that's not 6 years old, because I think at seven
right.
is when they become pros, I'm just worthless,
Yeah, you know, I would be the guy getting yelled at by everybody on his team going, what you doing? Oh, God, you suck. Yeah, I know I suck. Sorry, I can't help it.
Can't believe you died already. It's been 30 seconds. So I guess enough of us rambling on. Like you said, I'm not the biggest NFL guy, but as I'm sitting there with my phone propped up, and like I said, if you subscribe to the mothership, boy, do they notify you of everything, especially anything Jeff Passan writes. Is he the only writer for them now?
Oh, I thought he was the Yahoo guy. Is he with ESPN now?
I don't know. It was his name that kept popping up. So he must be, you know, or no, maybe it was Adam Schefter I was seeing. But what do you call it? I think the activity's been crazy. And like you said, you know, people were mad that the NFL didn't shut down their free agency because, you know, you can only do that in person. But, you know, can you kind of go over, like, what's been happening? I mean, the Bears are going for a new quarterback. I don't remember exactly who it was, but, you know, some people are excited. But, you know, I feel like, well, a guy past his prime, you know, is that really going to help them? And, you know, what truth is it that Tom Brady is going to Tampa?
Yeah, well, apparently, you know, the tough part with all this is, well, I shouldn't even say tough part, but kind of the humorous part with all this is, you know, the league year has officially started, and all these players can agree to deals, so they're kind of official, but kind of not official, because in the condition things are in, they need to take physicals to, you know, get their contracts approved by the NFL. So it's not easy. You know, like, obviously, Tom Brady, who did sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, doesn't live anywhere close to Tampa Bay. So it's not going to be easy for him to get from, I think he ended up in California. You know, to go from California to Florida under these circumstances to take a physical and have his contract approved and be introduced as, you know, the newest member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, yeah, he, you know, now the trades, on the other hand, they're official. So, like you mentioned, the Bears, they traded what is a conditional fourth-round pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and in return they got quarterback Nick Foles, who was a Super Bowl MVP for the Philadelphia Eagles, but to be honest with you, has stunk everywhere else he's went. So I don't know what the, you know, what the plan is, or, you know, like I've heard somebody say he's coming here to be the starter. Then I've heard other people say he's coming here just to be that veteran leader for, you know, good old, you know, Biscuit. So, you know, it's a little confusing, and obviously we're not going to know till they actually get up and running and, you know, we figure out what's going on. But, you know, injuries cost Foles pretty much most of the season last year. He played four games, interestingly, Jacksonville lost all four games he played. You know, he threw three touchdowns. He did throw two picks, so he didn't have a great TD interception rating. You know, again, I mean, when you look at his career stats, when he's in Philadelphia, they're fine. Like, you know, like, he spent a year with the Rams. He made 11 starts. They went 4-7. He threw 7 touchdowns and 10 picks. He spent a year as the Chiefs' backup before he went back to Philadelphia as their backup. You know, he did win that Super Bowl there. You know, that got him the big money in Jacksonville. You know, I mean, he signed a big free agent contract, which, you know, now becomes the Bears' responsibility. And I believe they restructured some of it to give them a little salary cap relief. But, yeah, you know, you look at it and it's like, well, what are they getting? Well, who knows? If this was Philadelphia, I'd be saying, man, they're getting a great quarterback. But you look at his stats and you're like, are they?
Well, and not only that, I mean, one of the biggest complaints I've seen about this trade is, you know, from Bears fans was the fact that it's kind of like the Theo thing. We're not going to spend it. We don't have money to spend. We're not going to spend money, and then we're going to go make this trade for a lot of money that we shouldn't be spending.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing that frightens me the most about not so much the Nick Foles signing, but if he is the starter, that means you're admitting that Mitchell Trubisky, who was a number two pick in the draft, is a bust. This goes on top of the fact that, you know, Ryan Pace's first draft pick, Kevin White, was a complete joke. And, you know, just – I think it might have been this week, the Bears decided to let Leonard Floyd go into free agency, who was another one of Ryan Pace's first-round draft pick. You know, how long before we start questioning whether this guy is a good GM or not?
Well, I mean, again, I'm not the biggest football guy to begin with, but you know, after the whole Mark Trussman experiment, you know, I kind of lost any trust and faith in this guy. And we're going to kind of continue to roll with him, and he goes and makes this move. So with this trade, all I can hear in my head, Big Jack, is Ryan Pace going on TV when they're allowed to have press conferences again and telling us without a shadow of a doubt that Mitchell Trubisky is the starting quarterback. He's the quarterback for the Bears, for the future. He's going to save, you know, the NFL and all this other crap. And Papa Bear Hallis is going to come walking out of his grave and, you know, start coaching the team from the sideline. And then 3 weeks in, Mitchell's going to be benched and we're going to see Foles. And then we're going to be at a Bears team halfway through the season at, let's just say, 1-7.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it here now. Since Pace has been the GM, he's had 5 drafts with the Bears. Now, last year they didn't have a pick because they traded the 2019 and the 2020 pick to Oakland for Khalil Mack, who was really good his first year, but not so much last year. You know, 2018 he did pick Roquan Smith, who does look like he'll be a pretty good player, you know, if he can stay healthy and if he's past whatever those personal issues are. Then it's Trubisky, Leonard Floyd, and Kevin White. You know, when you're looking at 3 out of your 5 actual picks as busts, that's not a good ratio, and it's going to be 3 out of 6 because you don't have one this year. So, yeah, I'm you got to wonder, is it the Bears or is it the management?
Well, you know, I've been saying it for years. It's from the top down. I mean, Virginia can go and sit in that booth all she wants, but all her decisions or whatever the hell she's doing and her kids aren't doing anything to make this team any better. You know,
I'm always thinking she's not making a lot of football decisions, but somebody
is. But,
I
mean, well, and, you know, and that's the point, that's the part of ownership, is you don't make the decisions. You hire the guy to make those decisions, right? And who do they continuously hire? Yeah, well, that's a whole other story, but, you know, when we look at the Bears, they continuously hire guys who don't really meet expectations and don't live up to anything. And then not only that, it's one thing when you kind of put in a guy in a position and you're like, it didn't work out, but they don't recognize that it's not working out and they continue to roll with the same thing. I mean, you know, there's an experiment that scientists have conducted. I don't remember what it was called or how it went, but, you know, you put a rat in a cage or a maze, and on one end of the maze there's a piece of cheese, and on the other end there's a piece of cheese, but that other piece of cheese is set to electrification. The rat goes to it once. The rat goes to it twice. The rat does not go back to that cheese ever again in that corner. The bears don't do that.
Yeah, and, you know, it looks like the two guys making these decisions, obviously Ryan Pace is the GM, but he had to be hired by somebody. Ted Phillips is the president and CEO, and George McCaskey is actually chairman. So those are the two guys who are hiring the general manager. I don't believe either of those guys are really football guys. You know, I know they tried to put Ted Phillips in, and from what I hear, he's a really good money guy. He's a really good salary cap guy, and he's really good with the contract negotiation, which is fantastic.
That's what you need. You need that.
Right, but does that mean he should be hiring the general manager?
No.
So, you know, and obviously George McCaskey has his job because his last name is McCaskey. You know, let's not make any bones about it. You know, when you go up and down the Bears front office, obviously it's littered with the McCaskey name because, well, they own the team. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you've just got to kind of you got to start to wonder, you know, when you've got non-football guys making football decisions, is this what you get?
I'm sure they have really good fantasy teams, Big Jack.
Oh, don't worry, I'm alone. I won't spread the virus anywhere, so you know we're okay there. Dan and I are in the same room, so he can't catch what I have. Yeah, you know. And I do wonder, you know, are all teams structured like this? I mean, you know, obviously I was joking with you about the Cowboys because Jerry Joyner is the owner and he basically does everything. He's the owner and general manager. So, you know, and I think
many
the
of
assistant general manager. So I don't even think they have an actual football guy in the front office. But, yeah, it'll be – I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I got to figure they must have extended Pace because I thought he only had a five-year deal. You know, he probably got an extension after they finished in first place 2 years ago. You know, that's always the best time to go ask for more money in a longer deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't look like we're going to have a choice. We're probably going to have to give Trubisky one more chance. He is in the last year of his contract. There is an option for next year. So if he plays poorly, the Bears can just, you know, walk away from him. But, you know, again, you're looking at the number two pick in the draft that you actually traded up to get. Remember, they got suckered in by the 49ers to trade up just one spot. And there was nobody trading up to get Mitch. That was just the 49ers' sell job. You know, and obviously the things that are going to continually haunt Trubisky is the fact that Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson went in that same draft, and they went much later.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I was trying to remember if Lamar Jackson was part of that draft, but I don't think so. I thought he was a year after that.
I thought that was a
but
character.
Yeah, it's
one of the Bill Cosby shows.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just one of those situations where, not much you can do about it. I mean, what Mahomes went 10th, if I remember right. Let me double check that. Yeah, he went 10th to Kansas City, and then Watson went 12th to Houston. You know, again, while the Bears were moving up to get, you know, Trubisky, you know, these guys were sitting there in the teens getting, a Pro Bowl quarterback, and Mahomes Holmes is a Super Bowl winner. So, yeah, it's just kind of, kind of one of those things.
Now, was there anything, any trades or, not totally official signings that you liked or thought were kind of good for both sides or whatever?
You know, I mean, obviously, the big one that, you know, I'm hugely interested in is, of course, Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. Because, boy, man, the way he played last year, it really looked like his skills were deteriorating. You know, I mean, and, you know, and that was, the majority of the blog yesterday was on Brady. So if you want to read all my thoughts, you can head over to sportstimeradio.com. He looks like he's in a better situation weapon-wise with the guys he got. I mean, you know, Mike Evans is a huge downfield threat, but does Brady have the arm strength left to continue to make him a huge downfield threat? You know, and they keep saying he didn't have this with New England. Well, you know, Philip Dorsett isn't chopped liver. He's a downfield threat. They went out and traded for Mohamed Sanu, you know, and I mean, he's a solid number two. You know, they had Julian Edelman, and, you know, I mean, it's not like the guys around him were chopped liver. So I get that, you know, the receivers on Tampa look better. But, you know, again, I mean, you've got to kind of question – you know, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's going to be, I think, 43 when the season starts. So is he older than you?
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's just the way, but I mean, you know, you look at it and, you know, Julian Edelman caught 100 passes. The next wide receiver is Philip Dorsett with 29. You know, Sanu did catch 26 passes. He was only there for 8 games. But, you know, I mean, when you start looking at it, you know, it's just like, you know, would things have been different if Antonio Brown wouldn't have been a complete schmuck and managed to stay with the team? You know, but like I was talking to you about, you know, downfield threats, You know, Dorsett was really the big guy. He averaged 13.7 yards per catch. When Josh Gordon was there, he averaged 14.4. So they weren't really going downfield as it was. And, you know, so the question is, A, is it a function of the offense, or B, is it Brady's limited ability to throw the football?
Mm-hmm. Well, in previous years, I mean, I don't think this comparison has ever been made. So maybe we're the first ones. No. When you look at the game and you look at this guy's arm and another guy, Jay Cutler, you know, I mean, for all his faults or whatever, with the fact that, you know, well, we won't even get into all the BS he had to deal with working here in Chicago with a new coordinator every other year. But how would you compare their arms? Because, I mean, let's be honest, Jay Cutler had an arm. And I'm sure he could have thrown from the 1 yard line to the 1 yard line if he wanted. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he had an arm. Where does Brady's arm kind of compare to that, where you'd be going for those deep routes?
Yeah, you know, he doesn't have an arm like Cutler. There are very few guys who actually had an arm like Cutler. You know, I mean, he was a guy who could really, I mean, really cut it loose. You know, like Michael Vick was another one of those guys. You know, he could throw the football out. I think they actually did a thing where he threw a football out of the stadium from, I think he was standing in the end zone, and he just threw it up over the bleachers into the parking lot, which is a huge toss. But, yeah, you know, there are very few guys like that. But, you know, now you would have to think Brady is probably – lower on the, you know, the arm strength percentage, you know, among the NFL quarterbacks. And, you know, it's not that you can't be successful doing that. I mean, like, Drew Brees doesn't have the strongest arm anymore, but the Saints are still a pretty good team with him as their quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, New England was 12-4 last year. It's not like they stunk. You know, it's just they didn't look like New England. You know, and then they went in the playoffs, and I believe they got beat pretty easily, didn't they, by, was it Kansas City?
Yeah, by Kansas City.
Oh, no, Tennessee. Tennessee beat them 20-13. But, you know, so that was a huge upset. And yeah, if I remember right, Tennessee got out to a pretty decent lead, and then just kind of had to hang on, and Derrick Henry just kind of ran wild, and you know that was that. And, you know, we know, like, he's going to a system that, you know, Bruce Arians is the coach in Tampa Bay, and he likes to throw the football down the field. So we'll see how this works out. I mean, obviously, you know, Brady's a really good decision maker, but, you know, they're going to need a really good offensive line in front of him, because he's not going to get away from anybody. You know, not anymore. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, again, I mean, you know, you're looking at his guys, you know. Chris Godwin had, I believe, a career-high 86 receptions. You know, Mike Evans had 67, but he missed three games due to injury. You know, they drafted O.J. Howard a couple years ago with a first-round pick, and they've been waiting for him to break out at tight end. You know, obviously Brady has always had a really good pitch and catch relationship with tight ends. You know, if it doesn't work with Howard, they do have Cameron Brate, who's always put up really solid numbers. You know, I mean, they don't have the best running game, but it's serviceable. So, you know, maybe they add a veteran running back to kind of help out. I doubt it'll be Todd Gurley, who was just released today. But,
yeah, I saw that.
You know, I mean, he's going to have talent around him. I mean, both Godwin and Evans went over 1,000 yards. Godwin averaged 15.5 yards a catch, and Evans averaged 17.3. So we're looking at guys who get down the field. You know, again, the question is going to be, will that fit into what Brady can still do?
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure Tampa will be excited as long as this kind of goes through and through. I guess my next question on, before we run out of time, what are your thoughts on the Patriots going into 2021?
Yeah, I'm really interested. That's the other thing. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, right now, Jarrett Stidham is their number one quarterback. My guess is they'll draft a guy, but will they use a first-round pick to do it? Will they wait till later in the draft? You know, Jameis Winston is really the only viable free agent left, but I don't see that happening. You know, do they wait and see if Carolina releases Cam Newton? Or do they try to trade for Cam Newton? You know, there's been a lot of talk about Andy Dalton. I know the Bengals want to move him. You know, it wouldn't take much to get him. It'd probably take a fourth or fifth round pick. But, you know, I mean, there aren't a ton of options. I mean, even if you get Cam Newton, you're getting, you know, an off-injured Cam Newton. So I don't know. You know, I mean, they've been consistently the best team, but are we looking at a New England rebuild, you think?
I mean, are we going with a New England team that no one really talks about, like they didn't after the Bears beat them?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you think they might be taking a year off to reset?
No, not as long as Belichick.
Maybe you got the phone.